Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
I'm going to talk to you about improving your aim. Boy, did they give me a good example. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn with me to Philippians. It's a familiar passage of Scripture in the third chapter. It's kind of a sad affair, but as a dad with both of my boys living across the United States most of the time all I can think about is the mistakes that I made. Huh? Any other dads kind of feel that way? You know, I'm sure that I did one or two things right over the course of the experience of raising my kids, but all that kind of shines out in my face are the mistakes that I made. So I just want you to realize going into this morning that I'm not trying to come to you as an expert dad, but I'm coming to you as your pastor and a purveyor of the Word of God, because I believe very strongly in this book. And I would like to point you, dads, to some truth that you can aim at. Because you see, unless you're aiming at something, you won't hit it. Is that too abstract? I said, unless you are aiming at something, you won't hit it. You guys that are fishermen, you look over and I may mess up here, but I learned a little yesterday. Oh, by the way, yesterday, my goodness. What did you have, 36 kids? Am I right? 36 kids. They were out there fishing and shooting and having an incredible time. It was really neat. I got to go and ask a few of them, and they were so very excited. They even got to see a dog who retrieves duck-like things out of the water. I'm not going to go too far into this because I'll show my total ignorance to everything huntsman. But Greg, well done. And the other, amen. Amen. We're going to be showing you some video of it, hopefully next week, maybe, and let you see, because they just had a grand time and love to see our kids as they're together. And by the way, you know, there were some folks there that do not know Jesus, and they were loved on yesterday. That's incredible. So praise the Lord. Anyway, today I'm going to point you to some things to actually aim at. If you are a hunter and you're wanting to end the life of some beautiful little critter, I mean, if your hope is to put that deer into your refrigerator or that turkey onto your table or that fish into your mouth or whatever, you aim for it, right? Well, see, our lives are the same way. We end up hitting what we're aiming for. So this morning, very simply, I want to give you some things to aim for. The Apostle Paul says it, and I'm going to read this out of the Message translation. So if this doesn't match up to your Bibles, don't freak out, okay? Because it's pretty loose. Well, but it's good. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, yeah. Wait a minute. Okay, let's try this again. In Philippians chapter 3, there we go. Beginning at verse number 12. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it. But I'm well on my way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not looking back. So let's keep focused on the goal. Those of us who want everything that God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, my friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods, belches their praise. I told you it was kind of loose. Belches their praise, and all they think of is their appetite. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. He will make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him. Amen. I just want to come back to that one. He says, let us keep focus on the goal. And guys, I think that that's very true, because as Paul mentions, there are countless individuals in this world who are trying to get us to find other goals other than Jesus. And may I tell you, they're not all bad things. The enemy learns very quickly that we reach a place in our relationship with the Lord where he cannot steer us off into gross sins. I would venture to say most all of you in here, I can't say this for all of you, but most all of you in here have probably put aside robbing a bank. What? You're still working on that one, Gene? Okay, well, I forgot you were up here in a pink shirt this morning. It's a brave man. Now, see, he knows he can't tempt us with something like that, because, you know, we've moved past that in our spiritual relationship. And so what he does quite often is he will tempt us to make good earthly things our goal. And we settle in on those things, and those good things become a distraction to us in our pursuit of Christ. And you know, good things can keep us from ending where we need to end just as much as bad things can, because they can be that distraction for us that keeps us from moving toward the Lord and from being the kind of dads that we need to be. It's really easy. So I want to give you three simple things. But first, I want you to look at a video. A little louder. Thank you.
making.
What does your dad do for a job?
My dad's a police officer. He protects people. He works hard so that way we can get money to buy toys for our birthday.
What do you and your dad do together?
Sometimes we would have like a date together.
We fight and wrestle.
Snuggle when it's nighttime.
What's your dad really good at?
Lego Star Wars.
Cooking. Tickling me. Because he's like so good I can almost throw up.
In what ways are your dad and God the same?
My dad and God love me and they're perfect.
God helps me make the right choices, and Daddy helps me make the right choices sometimes too, because he gives me a warning.
How do you know that your dad loves you?
He tells me.
It's because he's been with me all my days and he's never left me.
Sometimes he hugs me and kisses me. Sometimes he says it to me.
He's honest with me. He's, well, I can tell that he really loves me.
I love you, Daddy.
Happy Father's Day.
Yes. Just a little bit of reminder that somebody is watching as we set our goals, dads. Somebody's watching. And those of us who your kids are raised, I think they're still watching to see how we handle the rest of life. So setting our goals is not just about what makes me feel good, but it also sets our example for our family. Believe that, say amen. Amen. You're really staring at me today. You're hoping for something beyond what I have, I can tell. So let's pray. Father, we ask right now that you would help us as we put some targets before our eyes. That you would move in our hearts, and that you would help us to realize the incredible importance of how we live our lives each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Help us today to not look behind so much at what we have done or didn't do, but help us to look forward at what is ahead of us, to put the target out in front of us. Even if we totally messed up in days gone by, I thank you that today is a new day in you, and we can be an example in the days ahead. So help us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First target. And guys, let me tell you something. I'm keeping it simple this morning. Huh? Love. Love. You know, I think it's important, dads, that we realize that love is not a mom word. Love is a dad word. Our Heavenly Father loves us. He that loves not knows not God, because God is love, 1 John tells us. If you and I want to set before our faces a target worthwhile in our lives, it will be love. Let me help you a little bit through the Word, where the Holy Spirit has taken me. I think about when Peter denied that he knew Jesus. Now, he had walked with him. He had ministered with him. He had eaten with him and slept in the same spaces with him. They had a true bond of a relationship. But then Peter denied that he ever knew him. He even cursed and said, I do not know, have never known this man. And so they felt totally estranged. And you know the story. It's in the last chapter of John's Gospel, the 21st chapter. Jesus standing on the shore. The disciples out fishing in their hopelessness. Hadn't caught a thing. He says to them one more time, throw your nets to the other side of the boat. And they did, and they caught 153 fish. He taught them how to fish. He taught fishermen how to fish. That's our Jesus. You hear me? He can teach fishermen how to fish. So whatever it is that you do in your life, whatever your career is, no matter how long you've done it, Jesus knows how to drive a truck. If we just learn to trust what He knows more than what we know, it'd take us a long way. But here's the point. He didn't say to Peter, Peter, you blew it. He could have, because Peter did. He could have said, you denied me? What's wrong with you? You have known me. You have walked with me. And he could have really rained on Peter's parade that day. But what did he do? He lets Peter pull the fish in. He invites all the guys to come and sit down. He already had some fish on the fire cooked and ready to go for breakfast. He invites them to come in. And then someplace, sometime during this breakfast that they were having with Jesus, he calls Peter over and he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, like many of us, you know, gives him the, sure, Lord. Yeah. I attend church every Sunday. Oh. Huh? And he says to him again, Peter, do you love me? And he asked him, he says, do you love me more than these? And obviously he was talking about the fish and the men and what was there, because he was pointing at something. He doesn't tell us what, because I believe that the these, T-H-E-S-E, is different in all of our lives. And see, this wasn't just for Peter, it was for all of us that he was pointing to something. He said, when you're estranged from me, when you're separated from me by sin, he said, what I want to know is, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the stuff that you're shooting at right now? The stuff that you've made the target in your life? Do you love me? Finally, it sinks in deep enough in old Peter. And he said, oh, yes, Lord, you know. You know that I love you. Now, I know that there's a lot more teaching that can go on there, and you got the different words of love, and you got all of these things, and there's plenty of depth to sink into, but just keep it right at the surface for a moment and realize that Jesus wants to know, man, Father, do you love me? You say, well, yeah, I mean, the Lord, you know, it's kind of like in marriage. She should know, he should know that I love him because I'm still here. Huh? He's looking for a depth of love more than that. If you notice what he said to Peter, he says, if you love me, then serve me. Serve me. It's going to be different with each one of us. It's not going to be the same for each man. Our service to the Lord is shaped by what He has made us to be and who He made us to be. But He wants to know, do you love me enough? Do you love me more than all of these enough to serve me? Now, please, this morning, there's no condemnation in that. You hear me? There's no condemnation in the Lord wanting you to serve Him. Because everything you need to be able to serve Him, He is ready to supply. All the strength, all the ability, all the power will come from Him through the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, one day Jesus was approached by one of the great lawyers of the day in the Jewish community, and said to him, what's the greatest commandment? Which is the greatest commandment? He said it to him as a challenge. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And that great scholar turned and walked away from him. He said to Jesus before he left, well done. All the law, all the prophets, everything that has been written can be summed up in that very short, very powerful sentence, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But what does it mean? You know, our heart is really that internal place of resolve, if you will. It's where we make decision. You need, and I need, to find a love for the Lord that is a resolve, that says it's a finished thing. It's a finished work. In other words, I'm not going to be getting up tomorrow morning and deciding whether or not I love the Lord. Because every day that I'm alive, every day that I walk on this earth, from here on out, I am going to love and serve the Lord. He says, love me with all your soul. The soul is the seat of will and emotion. Now please, I know there's more to this again. But let's just keep it right here. The seat of will and emotion. The place of decision making. The place of, what came to my mind was, you remember when George Bush Jr. said he was the decider? Remember that? You know, guys, you need your decider to love Jesus. When you get ready to decide about things in your life, when you come to the place of a decision, the love that you have for the Lord Jesus should shape those decisions. Okay? And then it also says will and emotions. Sometimes we guys, you know, we're reticent. We pull back from letting our emotions release as though it would be a sign of weakness. For you and I to love the Lord our God with our emotions, you can have some of the most cleansing, freeing, powerful times in the presence of the Lord if you will allow Him and you will love Him through your emotions. I know guys that will come to an altar and they'll kneel down and they'll begin to seek the Lord and tears begin to come. They dry the tears and you get up and run out. Let them flow, guys. Love the Lord with your will and your emotions. Now see, for you gals, you really don't understand this because, I mean, that's a blanket statement too, but you know, for many of you gals, you let the emotions flow real easy. Can I get an amen? Well, let me put it this way. I've heard some of you say, I just need a good cry. That's one of the things you won't hear from men. Yes, I just think I need a good cry. Oh, really? And yet, guys, it may be what you need. You know, we laugh and we cry from the same place. Sometimes you need a good laugh in the midst of some horrible things that are going on in your life. So, you know, emotions are not just tears. Sometimes we need to learn to laugh through some of the horrible things that we're having to go through and our family is going through. But learning to love the Lord with our emotions and allow His love to flow through us and release those emotions. Then he says, with all your mind, oh my goodness, that storehouse of life. You know, maybe you've put so much garbage into your mind throughout the years. There's a lot of garbage out there. And you think, oh, I can never get past this. I can never. Listen, we are assured that we can renew our mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He wouldn't tell us, he wouldn't encourage us if he did not make a way for that to happen. Paul encourages us to set our mind on things above. You and I, guys, we have an opportunity to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, but also with all of our minds, to be able to turn our minds so that literally everything that has gone in there in the past is purified by the blood of Jesus. Imagine that. Come on, guys. All the trash, all the garbage, all the junk that has flowed into your mind, our Lord God can purify it. Can I use the word sanctify it? Set it apart unto Him. Conquer it so that you are no longer blasted by it. You know, can I tell you this morning that includes hurts? Because some are sitting here before me this morning and you had a bad experience with a dad. Your example of how a father loves was not the purest. And you're carrying that with you and you're agonizing over it and you're seeing other men and you're reading the Word of God and you realize this is not the way that God wants to do it. You think, how can I break free from the image that I have? Oh, praise God! By the renewing of your mind, the Lord can teach you a way of love. You've got to be willing to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, can I tell you before we move on, that may just mean that there are certain things that you can't put into your mind anymore if you love Him. His Holy Spirit is so sweet, so gentle. He'll come to you early and He'll come to you often and He'll go, don't need that. You know, we'd love for Him to put up a big signpost or throw something, you know, turn the television off or turn the computer off or do something catastrophic in those moments. No, He's going to talk to you really soft. He's going to talk to you in the midst of your relationship with Him. And He will say, you don't need this. Don't go there. And He'll do it early. He'll do it early while you still have a chance to say no to whatever the garbage is. But see, that's how this love relationship works. He has already proved that He loves us. Now we can prove that we love Him. What are we targeting? See, you know what? I'm going to target that. I'm going to make love my goal. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my will and emotions, and with all my mind. And so therefore, I'm going to protect my mind so that it tells the Lord that I love Him. I'm not going to just say it because I come to church. I'm going to show Him because I turn the TV off, I turn the computer off, I look the other way, because my mind is in love relationship with the Lord. Hey, before I go on, does that make sense? Okay? And finally, with all your strength. Oh my goodness. We all know strength, right? That's what we men are all about. Strength. He says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Let me just say this before I scoot on past it. Guys, we don't have any problems loving ourselves. I'll prove it to you. Just think about the last time you stood in front of a mirror. And you're looking there and there's flesh hanging all over the place. And in all reality, it's not a pretty sight. But then you let out all the air, suck in that gut, lift the arm, still got it. and you come walking out of that bathroom or away from that mirror. Hi, hon. Thinking that she sees the same thing you saw in the mirror. Not realizing she sees what is real. Again, you know, our God knows us. He knew exactly what to compare our need for loving our neighbor. He knew exactly where we are. Love your neighbor like you love that guy in the mirror. Huh? It's still got potential. Yeah, it may be hanging here and there, but there's still potential. If I wanted to, I could get back into shape. Huh? Yeah, I won't even ask for a show of hands how many of you thought that. You know, if I wanted to, I could get back there the way I looked when I was 20. Don't kid yourself. And then if you want a real tutorial on love, go to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, see, guys, you think, oh my goodness, Pastor, you've given me way more than what I can handle here. This is too much. I mean, my goodness, you know, I am having to read all these fishing manuals and guides and everything. So, you know, I mean, I've got all of this that I got to get in my brain, and you know, I've got to keep up on the latest techniques for hunting. And then there's my baseball team that I love to follow, and I've got all their stats in there. And you know, it's really tough to just hold all this stuff. And now you're wanting me to, what would you say again? Heart, soul, mind, strength? That, you know, you really, and now you're telling me I should study 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Again, you will hit what you target. I said you will hit what you target. If you're not targeting it, you have no chance in hitting it. I mean, again, if we're using the hunting analogy, if it doesn't matter what you aim at, then take your shotguns, take your guns, walk outside on your back deck, and shoot those suckers in the air. And just hope a deer will fall out of the sky. Bam, 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 bam. I hunted today, honey. Filled our freezer. Now, I know, that's so stupid, it makes it funny, isn't it? But if you think that you're going to be a man after God's own heart, that you're going to have all the power that you're going to need in your household, you cannot live your Christian life in that same way. Well, I'm going to come to church and let Pastor, he's going to preach at me. Well, that's all well and good. Glad you showed up today. But if you don't take something out of here and go, okay, now I'm going to live that, then in a real sense, it may be better that you didn't show up. Because see, there will be a day where we're held accountable for everything that we have heard and everything we have learned. So maybe it's we're better off to not even know. But listen to this. If you come to the place where you want to target something that will revolutionize your life and your relationships with your wife, with your children, then here's love according to the way God wants to give it in your life. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not easily angered! Exclamation point. Here's one. Love keeps no record of wrongs. You love your wife? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love her. It's tough. Huh? Here, let me show you my little book of everything that she does. You couldn't live with her either if your wife did all these things. You don't love her. Not with God's love. How would you like it when you go to prayer the next time that the Lord pulls out a little book and says, here, you say you love me, you say you care about me, you say you want to be in heaven with me? Here, let me show you my book. Let's look through the pages of the stuff that you've done. Huh? No, I mean, honestly, you can just think about it, don't react. But how many of us, we want God to forget everything that we have done wrong. We want Him to cast it as far as the east is from the west. And we say, yes, God, love me, forget everything that I did in the past and everything I did 5 minutes ago and everything that I've been thinking in between then and now. Right? Because love keeps no record of wrongs. And He's saying, okay, now bring that into your life and target that. You see, when you do that, when you do this list right here, then love is no longer an abstract. It's no longer this, oh, feeling love. Oh. No, no, no. Now all of a sudden, it's got real meat to it. Because you see, you can't say, I love her, I love him, I love them, and then open up your little book with a bunch of a list of everything that they did wrong. Or to not be kind. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. Dads, the first thing I want you to see as a target is love. The next one, I can't spend as much time on the rest of them. We're spending more time on love than anything. We need love. Amen? The second one is maturity. Grow up, dads. We need to focus on maturity. Growing up is hard to do. Maybe some of you guys can remember like me, and some of you young guys are facing this. But there comes a point in just about every guy's life where you realize that somebody else is not going to do life for you. That I always kind of look at it as the mantle, you know. The mantle or the weight of carry on life comes down on your shoulders. And you realize, I'm going to have to work. I'm going to have to provide for myself. If I bring a wife into this, I'm going to have to provide for myself and my wife. If I bring children into it, I'm going to have to provide for myself and my wife and my children. And so that the mantle just gets heavier and heavier. Come on, guys. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You think, well, you know, I would just like to throw this off and just go have fun like I did when I was a kid. And then you go, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. There are people looking my way. I've got a responsibility here. I don't like this job. I like my job. Just, you know, just thought I'd mention it. Love my job. You know what I'm talking about. You think, I just want to bust free from it. I just want to go out and have a good time like I did when I was young and so free and so carefree. I didn't have all these worries. And where, you know, where's the rent or the mortgage payment going to come from and the utilities and the car that's getting ready to explode. And I don't want that mantle down on me, but see, that's real life. I can take you by the hand and take you up to Bloomington on any given day and show you literally tens or hundreds of men who are shirking and laying off the responsibility and sitting around day after day doing nothing. What is that all about? That's all about saying, no, I'm not gonna shoulder the weight, I'm not gonna carry the load, I'm not going to accept the responsibility. We have, and I don't say this to hurt anyone at all, please, but we have children right here in our church who are growing up without a dad present in their life because the men say, no, I'm not going to grow up. I'm not going to accept responsibility. I'm not going to own being a man. Maturity is hard. It's hard. And it would be easy, if you will, for all of us as men to just scoot out from underneath that load and say, you know, I'm going to just go over here and live. And then I can watch whatever I want to on television. I can throw my clothes wherever I want to because there won't be anybody there to squawk at me. Huh? But then maturity says, no, you have a responsibility. Now, how many understand what I'm talking about? Guys, please. How many understand? Let me see. Okay. There's spiritual maturity as well. We're in the household of faith, okay? So, even in the same way that we have to shoulder responsibility, we have to come under the load, we have to accept the responsibilities, we have to grow up as men and shoulder the responsibility, in the same way there are spiritual responsibilities. Too many guys let their wife be the spiritual leader in the home. Guys, I don't mean to hurt, but I believe this to be true. You become a spiritual hobo in your house. A spiritual vagrant. Something happens, honey, pray. Guys, you need to know how to pray. You say, but oh my goodness, if I pray and nothing happens. Hey, we all have to shoulder that. You say, well, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to grow? That's what this book's for. You see, he's given us this book. You say, but oh my goodness, when I read that, I don't understand half of what I'm saying. I don't even understand a third of what you're saying right now. Listen, I have told you this over and over again, and I believe it to be true. If you would just target to gain one thing each week, out of all the time, you know, I'll spend 30 to 45 minutes or 40 minutes preaching every Sunday to you, but if you would just target to say, I'm going to learn one thing from what the pastor is teaching this morning, and I'm going to take it with me, and I'm going to add it to my life, and I'm going to look for the fruit behind it. I'm going to look for it to actually be in my life. Think about it. If you come, let's say you come 50. I'm not going to dream to say you'd be here 52 weeks out of a year. Well, let's say you came, no, let's say 48. So you would have 48 things. Some of you have been in church for 25 or 30 years. Take that 25 or 30 years times 48. If you was just gaining one thing every week and lead in your life, you would be extremely mature in the things of God. Powerful in the things of God. When I was a child, Paul says, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now, see, most of us in here will say that about our physical lives. But have you said that about your spiritual life, Dad? Target maturity in the same way that you are targeting maturity in your physical life. Target maturity in your spiritual life. Here I am today on Father's Day 2017. I know my weaknesses. I know where I'm failing. I know where I'm trying to scoot out from underneath the spiritual load. Okay? This time next year, where do you want to be? You see, you can say this morning, you know, by this time next year, I want to be standing up in front of my family praying the prayers. I want to be the one who has faith in the power of the Lord to change circumstances. I want to know some of God's Word and have it planted down inside of me so that I won't sin against God, so that I can be the father and the husband that I need to be. You'll never get there if you don't target it. Father's Day 2018, you will be the same or maybe less mature than you are today if you don't set a target. Let me give you the last one. Heaven. Heaven. Set a goal toward heaven. You say, oh, well, I've got that one. I'm heading there. Really? How do you know? You know what Jesus said? He said things like, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, this is really quite a simple thing. This going to heaven business. Because, well, heaven's an incredible place. Can everybody acknowledge that? Do you know enough about it to say it's an incredible place? No more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. It's going to be an incredible place. Right? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So it's a place prepared for us. It's going to be everything that we could ever imagine. It's going to be incredible. So let's put that on the table. But the most important thing that you and I need to target about heaven is, will we be there? Will we be there? And I would encourage you this morning, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Because you see, you will be wherever your heart, where your heart is, that's where you will be. So don't make it complex. Don't make it a big, crazy kind of thing. But wherever your heart is, there you will be when it's all over with. Those who long after this world, they are working desperately over the things of this world. They're so wrapped up in the things of this world. Well, when you die, when it's all over with, then you will reap the harvest of this world. But those whose hearts are set upon Jesus, who are loving Him with all of their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all of their strength, where their heart is, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare that place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Why? So that where I am, there you may be also. So we're just going to follow our hearts, guys. So, just look at where your heart is today and take the measure of your heart and the intent of your heart, because that's what you're targeting for. So, where am I putting my energy? Where am I putting my strength? Where am I putting my will and my resolve? Where are my desires located? That's where I will spend eternity. And if it's Jesus, then you can say, I'm going to where He's at. Hallelujah. Now see, there's really no condemnation in that, because you're going to get your heart's desire. How cool is that? The Lord is purposed to give us our heart's desire. If our heart's desire is Jesus, we get to go be with Jesus. Now think about this for just a moment, and I need to be done. You say, yeah, you do need to be done. But think about it for just a moment. He truly is willing to give us the desire of our hearts. But now, if you do not want to follow after Jesus with your heart, soul, mind, and strength today, then why would you want to be with Him for all of eternity? Huh? Why would you want to be there? Because heaven's all about Him. There's not even going to be a sun. His glory is going to be the illumination of everything. You see, here's the way I believe it. I believe that He is putting into the hearts of those who are going to be with Him in heaven a longing for Him. Abraham looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I really believe that. I believe that no matter what your level of spiritual maturity is, that there is something that is drawing us today toward a relationship with Christ. His Holy Spirit, yes, but there's even something more, because He's getting us ready. He's getting us ready to come and to follow our hearts into His presence. So guys, this is no mystery. This is no great abstract kind of thing. What are you in love with today? What are you targeting? If you're targeting love and maturing in the Lord and going to heaven, I believe you're going to get it. I believe you're going to hit the target right square. And one of these days, we're going to be in glory. We're going to be looking for and find Jesus. But there's also going to be a number of guys who said in church week after week after week, who said, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe He died for my sins." Some may even serve on boards, may teach Sunday school and do all those kinds. Jesus said that that would be the case. Some will even cast out demons in His name, Jesus said. But what is He going to tell them? When they get ready to come into His presence, what is He going to say? "I never knew you. I never had your attention. We never had a love relationship." He's saying to us, guys, just what He said to Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then live it out. Push toward eternity. Push toward maturity in the Lord. Begin to live your hope in Christ Jesus. Amen?